Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We've been talking on this subject of pursue, and we had started this a couple of weeks ago, talking about what dreams is God dreaming for you this year. And you know, when you think about God dreaming dreams for you, I always think about things of being a dad, and I think about dreaming dreams. I can remember when my kids were little, and hopefully we all can remember this if you have children. I remember when our kids were little and they'd be asleep. It was kind of one of my favorite times. Amen. Is when they go to sleep at night. Yeah, because they were just busy little busy people. But they'd lay down and they'd fall asleep. And I can remember standing at the door, and as I'd stand at the door, I'd look. And here's what I thought about at that point. Things would go through my head like this, probably just like every parent. You're wondering, I wonder what they're going to become one of these days. You know, and you look at it, and we all know that in our children's lives, we have a huge influence in our children's lives. We have a huge influence in our grandparents' lives. And here's what I did with my kids, and probably some of you had done the same thing that I did. You know, I really didn't care what career that my children wanted to go after. I just wanted my kids to know that there was a God that cared about them, that there was a God that loved them. I wanted them to know that it was a privilege, it's the greatest privilege in all the world to serve God, and I wanted them to love God with all of their hearts. You know, and it's these songs that we sang this morning, and so, you know, the career path that they chose and the different things wasn't nearly as important, because here's what I believe that God thinks about us this morning, and as we look at these verses of Scripture this morning, I'm not sure that God cares so much about our career path as he does about who we become in him. Who are we going to become in Christ? You know, who am I going to be? Who am I going to be? And so as we pursue God, and so as I dream dreams over my children, and I believe God dreams dreams over us, and I think that this morning that as we talk about this, I think about what I wanted for my kids, and what I wanted for my kids is what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I wanted them to have a solid foundation in their life. You know, I wanted them to have a strong foundation. I wanted them to know the difference between right and wrong. I wanted them to know, those things. And when we talk about that, friends, listen, I want to just throw something at you this morning just for a moment. But one of the things, and especially, it was a big deal this week. We had, and it just blesses me, and I want to share good things that happened to us. But last Sunday morning, we had two people that raised their hand for first-time commitments in church, you know, to make a commitment to Jesus. That's a big deal. And it so blessed me, and it so encouraged me last week, and so be praying for them. But then this week, I think Gretchen had 45 ladies in her class upstairs. We had 27 men in our men's class downstairs, and one of the things that I believe that God wants us to do is have a solid foundation, and this is ways that we can build solid foundations in our lives, having a solid foundation. So when I think about the foundation that God wants us to have in our life, why does God want us to have a solid foundation? Because the Lord doesn't want us, and the Bible says this, and it tells us about this in James chapter 1. It tells us that if we have a firm foundation underneath of us, then we're not going to be tossed and turned by every wind and wave. And James is talking about doctrine, about biblical teaching. But friends, listen, I don't want us to be thrown by the things of life. You know, so many times and as we go through issues of life, and this is one of the things as a pastor that I observe a lot, that people go through a crisis in their life, and if they don't have a good foundation underneath of them, what ends up happening is we start to lose our faith, and we think, wow, if this is really God, and if this is really what God's expecting, if this is really what God's, and then all of a sudden we begin to waver in our faith, and God doesn't want us to waver in our faith. How many of you know this morning that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that you go through? It's true. I really believe that with all my heart. I believe that God has a plan and there's a purpose for everything that we go through. Now, can I just say this? That not everything that we go through is God-caused, because sometimes say it again louder. Thanks. Sometimes we have the spirit of dumb. And I say that graciously. But sometimes we do dumb things, you know, and then we blame God for it, you know, and we think to ourselves, you know, this is God's fault. No, it wasn't. It was our fault. You know, we make dumb decisions, and sometimes, and it doesn't sound very proper, does it, coming from your pastor on a Sunday morning? But sometimes we do silly things, you know, and then we face the consequences, because for every action, if you remember in your upbringing at school, for every action, there's a what? There's a reaction, isn't it? You know, and so when we act and the way that we do things in life, and so the thing that I want to talk to you this morning for a little bit is, what kind of foundation are we going to build? And we read this passage in Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is talking. It's in the part that that we call the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was on the hillside preaching that day. But I want you to listen to these verses of Scripture before we get to Matthew. But I want you to hear these words from the Lord this morning. Okay, in Psalm chapter 34, verse 17, it says this: the Lord hears his people when they cry to him for help. He rescues them from all of their trouble. That's good news today. It's good news. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Psalm 107, verses 28 through 30, Lord, help. They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing. What a blessing was the stillness that he brought them into a safe harbor. And I think about these things, and I think about how God helps us, and God's always there to work within us. And the Bible says to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when I think about foundation, when we think about the things that are going, there's a lot of building going on in our community. Again, there's a lot of building going on in Central Oregon. And friends, all of us that have built a house or have ever had that opportunity to be involved in that, what's the first thing that they do? They build the foundation. The house sits on a foundation, and if the foundation is faulty, the house is going to be faulty. And so this is why the Lord, I believe with all my heart, wants us to have a firm foundation in our heart every day. Because every trial, every tribulation that we go through in this life has a reason and a purpose, and it makes us stronger in our faith if we're able to draw closer to God and cry out to him in our time of trouble. So how do we persevere through these times of storm? How do we persevere through these situations that we face in our life? Because here's what Jesus said. You know, sometimes people say, yeah, but God, you know, I just don't believe that, you know, this happens and God allows this or different things like that. Well, friends, just let me remind you that it says, I believe it's in John 16, 33, Jesus said, in this world you can expect trouble. Wow, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? But he said this, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So what does that tell us? It tells us this, that we are going to have trouble in this world. We can expect trouble. But friends, if we're close to Jesus, if we have a firm foundation underneath of us, if we put to work God's word in our life, and what Nolan shared with us this morning out of Hebrews chapter 13, that God's word is alive, it's sharp, it's powerful than any two-edged sword. God's word works when we put it into practice into our lives. And so we need to understand that and know those things. And so what does God want for us this morning? And I believe it's to have this solid foundation. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, it says this, God says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So what does it say to us? That we're in the midst of a storm, when we're in the midst of those trials in our life, sometimes we forget who God is and what God's able to do. So let me bring it back to your remembrance this morning. What is he able to do? God is the God of the impossible this morning. God is the God of the impossible. He is the God who is able to do what he says he can do. God is the God of miracles. And I want to remind us, God is God today. And he can do all things exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. So in the storms or in the trials, if we don't have a firm foundation under us, and we get into this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and let me read it to you. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a rock. Then the rains come and in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house. It won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on the sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. See, Jesus, I believe, is making a very important statement right here. In order to benefit from God's wisdom, we must be like the man who built his house on the rock, not like the man who builds his house on the sand. I really believe this morning this is a pretty simple parable, because here's what Jesus is saying. In a storm, a house built without a solid foundation is going to get knocked down. Okay? And it's the same way in our life. We're going to all face torrents in life. We're all going to face the storms. And if we don't have a good foundation under us, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get knocked down. All of a sudden, doubt and unbelief is going to arise on the inside of our heart. We're going to ask questions like this. Well, where is God? Why is this happening to me? We're going to question all these things. And Jesus is saying, if you have a good foundation underneath of you, if you know that you're going to experience these things, you're going to go through them. I'm going to be there to help you. I'm going to be there for you to trust in me. I'm going to be there to put your confidence in. So trust me and let me walk through you with this, and we'll come through on the other end, maybe unscathed. Sometimes we might have some bruises, and sometimes we might be banged up a little bit. But we'll be okay. We'll be okay because of his promise. So the one who doesn't have a foundation or a great faith in Jesus Christ many times crumbles and falls. But those who have a firm faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone will persevere. They're going to endure, and they're going to continue to stand firm on a rock, on the rock of Jesus Christ. Here's what's interesting is we all have a choice on which foundation we're going to have. We all have a choice today to make a decision on what kind of a foundation I'm going to choose. Here's what happens in a lot of people's lives. A lot of people today that, and maybe this morning, and friends, can I just tell you, wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus is okay, okay? If you're a brand new Christian, it's okay. If you've served God like Nolan has for most of his life, it's okay. I believe what Jesus wants every time we come together is take another step or two closer to who he is and what he has for your life. You know, we never stop learning. We talked about that last week. We never stop learning. There's always things that we grow from. There's always things that we can hear and we can glean from and truths that we can apply to our life. One of the things that I think is so important about having a godly foundation is having people in your life. We talked about this Wednesday night in our men's Bible study, is having a mentor in your life, having a mentor and being a mentor in somebody's life. You know, I think about that, and you know, all of us in this room, I believe, have mentors that we've never met. You say, what do you mean by that? Books we've read. You know, things we've studied. You know, things that we've gone after. I mean, I know people that like to hunt, they like to fish, they like to, you know, they like outdoorsy stuff, they like this stuff. You know, I've always kind of been good with fixing things with my hands, and I kind of enjoy that kind of stuff. But, you know, the things that I own, the things that I have, and the things that, you know, I believe God's blessed me with, usually I get them, and they might be brand new, and usually what I do is I take them apart because I want to see how they're made. I know that probably sounds dumb, but my first four-wheeler I had, first time I ever bought a quad, it was a Polaris quad, but by the end of the day, I had the thing all completely torn apart. I'm not talking about the engine, I'm talking about everything else. It was sitting in pieces on my garage floor. You know why? Because I wanted to know how it went together. I wanted to know about it, you know. Gretchen comes out and goes, what are you doing? I go, never mind. You know, you probably have things that you need to do, you know, in there. And I said, just leave me alone. It'll be back together soon. But I've always kind of been that way. But here's what you do. You know what I did? I sat there and I read the instruction manual about it. I watched a couple of YouTube videos about it. You know, there's just things that we do because if you get into it, you want to learn about it. And friends, it's the same way. And I'm saying this, that we've all had people that have mentored us in our life that we've never met. I've read a lot of theological books over the years, you know, just like a lot of us have. And you know, and I've gleaned from those things. I've been to school, and you learn from your college teachers, and you learn from your professors, and you learn from these people. And some of them we know, some of them we don't, and it's all good. But friends, listen, there's nothing better than coming alongside somebody that you can be a mentor to them, or they can be a mentor to you. The other night when we were in that class, Pastor Jeremy asked Nolan how long he'd been married. And Nolan, how long did you say you'd been married? 64 years? 64 years. So if I was having a few marriage problems, this is just a thought. Okay? This is just a thought. If I was going through something in my marriage relationship, I would probably look at somebody like Nolan and go, that guy has been married for 64 years. He may know a little something about this. You know what I mean? And I'd probably go up and I'd probably snuggle up to him and I'd say, hey, can I trust you? And he would say, yes, you can trust me because I know Nolan's character. And I'd say, because here's what's going on in my life right now. Can you help me? My brother-in-law and sister-in-law go to a huge church in Vacaville, California that's got, I don't know, 8,000 people that go to it or something. It's huge. They've got like 12 pastors on their staff. And none of their pastors, none of them do premarital counseling for people that are getting married. All the people that do the premarital counseling are all people that have been married for over 25 years. They're the ones that do the premarital counseling. You know why? Because those people that have been married that long know a little bit about marriage. And it's the same way in anything that we do. If you want to learn how to be a good follower of Jesus, get with somebody that you know is a good follower of Jesus. You know that you've watched their life, that you've watched their personality, that you've watched their character, that you've watched the things that have gone in. Snuggle up with them. And friends, learn from them and glean from them. This is what Jesus did with his disciples. This is what they did. They came close to him and he taught them and he shared with them just like, and they were learning on the mountainside just like everybody else was. And you know what Jesus' idea was behind all this? To get a solid foundation underneath of them. Here's how solid it was. When they arrested Jesus and took him to trial, guess what they did? They're out. They got a little too close. They didn't want to be quite that close. But friends, can I just tell you that those men, after the fact, the Bible says that those 11 ordinary men turned the world upside down with the influence that Christ had in their lives. I feel the same way about anything. If you're having difficulties with some financial issues or you've got things going on, get with people that you know that are good money managers. Get with people that know what they're talking about when it comes to those type of things. And you say, well, who are those people? I don't know. I mean, you've got people like that in your life just like I have in my life. If you don't know, I'll get you set up with them. Brian Brandon's one. He's just like, what? Can I just tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to be old and seasoned to be a good money manager. I know a lot of young people that are good money managers. They're very good money managers. You know, and this is what I'm saying. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, but what happens so many times is we get busy and we think to ourselves, I don't have time to do this. I don't have the time to do all the things that you're asking. I don't have all the time to get involved with these different things. Friends, listen, we'll only grow as fast as we invest the time into it. We'll only get better at it the more that we invest the time in it. And I just want to challenge you in that. And I'm not trying to throw that out to, I don't know what word I'm looking for. So you can just put any word in there you want to. I'm not trying to discourage you this morning. I'm trying to help us. It's really interesting because the two houses that Jesus describes in this parable, I'm just going to say this. They looked exactly the same from the outside. They probably looked exactly the same from the outside. We sit here and we look at the people that are sitting in this room today, and I think, wow, you know, y'all look great today. It's always fun to come together and to hang out on a Sunday morning and one thing another, but y'all look great today. But you know what? I don't know what's going on down on the inside of your life today. You don't know what's going down on the inside of my life today. Because we look at each other and we all look pretty good, you know, And I remember when we bought our house that we live in now. We've lived in it for, I don't know, 15 or 16 years, I guess. And I remember when we bought it, we drove up into the neighborhood. My cousin at the time was a realtor, and he's in Bend. And he told me, he says, yeah, this development that they're building, he said they've got six different styles of homes. They're building six different types. Well, there's a lot of building that goes on where they're building tract homes and, you know, this house looks exactly the same, only the door's on that side, and that one, the door's on that side, but they look exactly like little cookie cutters all the way down through, and I was a little nervous about that, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I said, well, I don't know, you know, and they said, no, the way that they're building houses in this neighborhood, you know, there's, you know, whichever the sixth house is, it's going to be like yours, isn't going to be anywhere close. Well, the one that's like mine's right across the street. It's right across the street, you know, And I remember as they were building ours and we moved in and I met the guy that lives right across the street and he came up and he'd been in his house for a couple of years and he asked me how much we paid for the joint and I told him and he paid $25,000 less for his. And I was just like, wow, what makes that house $25,000 more expensive 2 years later? But I got a better plan for you. 2 years after that, when everything was just like skyrocketing in Central Oregon, He ended up selling his house for 2.5 times the amount that he bought it for, bought 10 acres in Boise, Idaho, or somewhere in that area, lives out on a little farm now, and started a business, and I'm still there and loving every minute of it. I love being where we're at. We've got great neighbors. We live in a great neighborhood. What I'm saying is this, is you can't identify people by the outside. It's only what's happening down here. And this is what Jesus says. On the outside, we can look pretty good. He's saying on the outside, it can look like the house is pretty firm and the house is built pretty well. But what happens, and how do we get the real test of what's happening? How do we find out the real test? It's when the storm happens. You know, it's when the rain starts falling. It's when when we get that call, and you've heard me say this a zillion times, when we get that call from the doctor, we go through that relationship issue, or something comes down in our finances, and all of a sudden something's going on, it finds out really what we're built like on the inside. It tells us what kind of foundation that we have. And I think about this, and I think about this foundation. Listen, when the storm comes, we can trust Jesus, because he's a firm foundation. When life gets complicated, we can trust God's wisdom. When we're weak, we can rely on God's strength. When our hearts are in trouble with the storm, our Lord can speak a word and bring peace into our heart and in our mind. In the storm, we can look to the Lord, and we can look at our God and know that he has promised us he'll never leave us and forsake us. We can look beyond our present storm. This is the thing that I want to encourage you about, is we can look beyond this present storm. We can look beyond the present situation. We can look beyond our troubled hearts this morning and know that we are in safe keeping if we put our trust in Christ. We can rely on his grace. We can rely on his mercy. We can rely on his guidance. We can rely on his love. Because in the storm, we're to turn to Jesus, because Jesus is our firm foundation. Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. How do we hear it? Listen to what Romans 10:17 says. It says, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The good news of Christ Jesus. We need to hear from God. So how do we hear from him? By reading the word, by reading Christian books, by coming to church, by listening to sermons, by getting in a Bible study like we started this past week. You know, by meeting with other Christians who can teach us and help us, and that we can observe, that become mentors to us. But friends, can I say this also? We need to be able to hear in order to learn. But then there's another piece to it. Because there's a difference between just hearing and listening. The key to listening is that we have to interact with whoever's speaking. We have to interact with them. You know, and I think this is interesting, because this has happened to me a zillion times, just like it has to all of us. Somebody will say something and say, explain that to me. What do you mean by that? In other words, go a little deeper for me today. You know, go a little bit deeper. We ask questions. You know, can you explain that a little further? What happened next? What was the next phase of that? What happened there? Oh, I was going to tell you a story, but I don't have time. See, questions show that we're listening. And we need to ask questions when we hear the truth of God. We have to ask ourselves things like this. Did I understand that correctly? Is there another passage that teaches this same thing? Is God warning me about something? Is God wanting me to respond to this? Is this a promise that I can claim? It is a command that I need to obey? What can I learn from this, and how can I apply this to my life? If we want a firm foundation, if we want to persevere through the storms of life, we have to build our lives on the truth of God's word. And I got to shorten this, because it's time for us to be done. Second thing is this. If we're going to have a firm foundation, we have to remember that we're loved by God. Do you know that you're loved by God today? Do you know that God loves you today? He does. Here's how much God loves us today. The Bible tells us in Romans that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, Jesus died on a cross for us. Jesus loves us with an unfathomable love. God loves you today. Because we ask ourselves these questions sometimes, well, if God loves me, then why am I going through this? Have you ever said, God, quit loving me so much? You know, God, quit loving me so much. God loves us. That's having a good foundation under you, is to know that God loves you. Because when you're going through the storms and when the rain and the torrents are flooding, if we know that God loves us, and we know that he's got us in his hand. And the third one is this, is that we need to remember, and I didn't even know Jacob was singing that song, God is for us, not against us. That's what I was going to tell you. God's for you, he's not against you today. He's for you, he's not against you. And we have to remember that. See, we have to remember those truths. So we need to remember, we have to have a good foundation. We need to remember that we're loved by God. We need to remember that God is for us, not against us. In Romans 8:31, it says this, if God be for us, who can ever be against us? And then there's this whole list of things. God's for us today. He's for us today. You know, I look at my kids, and I want to end where I started today. I look at my kids today, and you know what? My kids have gone through some struggles. They've gone through some things in their life. But you know what? I've always been for them, just like you are for your kids. You always say things like this, hang in there, it's going to be okay. Keep trusting God because it's going to be okay. Don't give up. Keep hanging in there. Trust God, it's going to be okay. How do you know? Out of our own experiences. So many times it comes out of our own experiences. Friends, listen, we've all gone through horrific trials. We've all been in those storms before, and we've come through on the other end of it. We've trusted God. God's blessed you through it, and we grow from it. And through that growth, we're able to help others. Because friends, listen, if I want to find out about my marriage, I'm going to go to somebody that knows about marriage. If I go through a financial crisis, I want to go to somebody that can help me that knows about finances. And friends, we look at it from that standpoint and say this, God's for you, he's not against you today. But sometimes it takes humility to do that. And friends, listen, my last point this morning that I want to say to us is this, is don't allow your life to be so prideful that you won't ask for help. That you won't ask for help. People will help you, they won't judge you. And that's the thing that blesses me, and God certainly doesn't judge us. You know, and we look at it, and here's what I know. When I need to know something, it always reminds me of that. Remember back in the day they had that transmission commercial where the guy's out hosing off the driveway and the guy pulls in and he's got a bad transmission and the guy looks at him and says, I've always wanted to fix a transmission. You know? He doesn't know how to do it, but he's always wanted to. Well, I don't want people that always wanted to do it to work in my life. I want people that have done it and know it and can help me, the same as we all do. So Jesus, thanks for today. Lord, I know our time's a little bit short today, but Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that we'd take these principles today and that we'd apply them to our life. Lord, not only that we'd have a firm foundation with you in our life, but God, that we would remember how much you love us. Lord, I pray today, Lord Jesus, if nothing else out of this message this morning, that people in this room would realize and understand how much, God, that you love them today. How much that you love them today. And Lord, I pray today that, Lord, that they would know that you're for them, you're not against them. And so, Lord, that as you walk with them through the storms and through the torrents of life, that, God, that you're there. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would have wisdom from you and that we would receive from you the comfort and strength that we would receive from you. All that you've promised us in your word, that we can navigate through these things of life and come out on the other end of it, Lord Jesus, complete and entire. Lord Jesus, not needing, but Lord Jesus, knowing that you've provided. So, Lord, I trust you for that today, and I thank you for it. So, Lord, would you just be with us as we close our time together today? God, that you will just be with us this week. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, should there be anybody in this room right now that are facing those trials, that they're facing those storms, that, God, that you'll hold them close. I pray that, Lord, you'll wrap your arms around them today, that you'll draw them close to yourself. Allow your Holy Spirit just to minister your great grace, your mercy, your love to them today. And, Lord, we just trust you for it. We thank you for it, and we honor you in your precious name, Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that as we go today, that you'll keep us safe as we travel on the roads today. God, I pray that, Lord, that you'll bless their week this week, and that, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, as they are navigating in this journey that we call life, that, Lord, that you would walk close with them and that they would walk close with you. And we trust you and we thank you for all these things, and we pray it all in the precious name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. It's good to see all of you. Have a great day today, and stay warm. Did anybody get surprised by the snow this morning? It kind of surprised me. I was in my garage, and I backed out, and I went, whoa! So, yeah, it was a little bit different. So God bless you today.